be done to bring you honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you get it working?
Yeah, battery was in there, Ben.
Okay. And you got it recording already? All right, here we go. Well, Jeff wrapped up last week with patience, and he honed in really on the understanding that there is some continuity between the different Christian virtues and also the three aspects, if you think of the triangle, that make up our devotion to God. First, in our search to know God and what He is like, we discover His power, His sovereignty, His grace, His eternality, His omniscience, His omnipresence, and yes, even His wrath. Our God is infinite, and He is limitless and impossible to measure. Wow, He is spectacular. And the more that we learn about Him, what that creates in us is a proper fear and respect for Him. And really, our love grows for Him. Not only that, though, that this little triangle that we're continuing to work on in our devotion, we understand and study the love of God. And when we think of the total weight of God, it'd be scary if we just had that alone, right? You think about how powerful and how just awesome He is. But look, He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. So we study and we learn about that love and about how that love moves in and corrects us and guides us and protects us. It teaches us. It involves us in His work of the kingdom. Not only that, but it holds us securely for all eternity. So as we grow in our understanding of these two things, the fear of God and the love of God, what it does is it develops in us a greater and deeper desire for God. It creates in us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. So this is the process of a life that is devoted to God in such a way that the actions that it produces please God. Right? So just again, just reviewing, you know, back to the start of that. And so what is it then that flows out of a life that's devoted to God? Well, last week we learned patience, right? We've learned all of these different virtues. He gives us inner peace. He gives us joy. He causes us to be content, thankful. As we're devoted to Him, these are the things, if you will, that are produced in our lives through the walking in the Spirit, or to be controlled by it. So, as we start to think about our discussion on gentleness this morning, how much time have you spent in your life? He kind of noted this in the book. I thought that was very interesting. On studying, spending time in prayer, sermons that you've heard on the subject of gentleness. Why do you think that is? Is it not really important? Yes. I mean, it's something that really deals with our daily lives, doesn't it? I mean, it's just right down there where we are. Because, you know, some people are, just their personality is more gentle, right? I know some people are that way, and you see that right out of their personality. But look, this isn't about a personality trait that God is calling us to right here. It is a fruit of the Spirit, so it applies to each and every one of us. So just kind of thinking about it from the start, do Christians see not being gentle as a bad sin? You know, you always hear of these sins that, I mean, you know, when people talk about sin, they want to line up those big ones, right? Don't they? Don't we, I should say. But look, it's grievous to not be gentle, to not have the fruit of the Spirit that is gentle. So let me just ask this. What is our natural tendency in dealing with people? What can be our natural tendency?
To not be gentle,
right? Paige?
Judgmental.
Judgmental? Okay.
It depends on where their sin or offense ranks on that scale.
Right? Just, I'll come right back to you, Jack.
I think those closest to us, we tend to be.
Ooh.
You know, might be that thought process of they love me anyway, they belong to me anyway, they're not going anywhere. I don't know. But, and then we show our kindness and our words and our hearts, you know, to acquaintances. Yeah. Mm. Strangers, yeah.
Frustration can come out, yeah. Jack?
You know, we see the world not be kind to the gentle person a lot. Take advantage of
them,
you know. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to just, at least it seems to me it's hard to just leave that to God and take care of it.
Yeah, our natural tendency can be to be harsh, rigid, exacting. Especially, I mean, you know, as Paige pointed out, you know, you talk about your family, your parenting, you know, you can see many times, you know, you think about how gentle God is with us, but sometimes as parents, we can be a little tough, a little rigid, a little hard, right?
I think sometimes we can. I know one time when we had to have a discussion with one of our children, we prayed and prayed and asked the Lord, you know, to work through us. So probably in that moment, we were experiencing gentleness because we really sought the Lord on it.
Yes.
You know, but it makes you think of how many other times I approach things and I don't pray about it and I just jump into it. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
And I think also we ascribe gentleness more to women. So like we don't revere it as much in men as we do like expect it in women.
Yes, we're gonna dive into that a little bit. Rick,
to study things to find out how to be gentle, you know, to get into God's word and find out how can we be effective and be gentle, is adding a different tool to the toolbox, because we have a tendency. The old saying: if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Right.
Get something besides a hammer out of the toolbox, then we have a little bit better chance. Which
yeah,
you saw.
Yeah, right on. So, how would you describe gentleness, the fruit of the spirit that is gentleness? How would you describe that this morning?
Empathy.
Okay.
I've always heard strength under control.
Okay. All right.
You mean you're not strong. It just means you have that in control.
Like, yes.
Like I think of my father as a gentleman, mm-hmm. and I think he's firm with a soft touch.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's a great description. Anybody else? I've got this definition here that dealing with people in a kind manner, with humility and consideration. Billy Graham defined it. Billy Graham defined gentleness as mildness in dealing with others. So look, the mark of a person who is devoted to God should be that they are gentle with people. And we think about, you know, when things are going good, it can be kind of easy to be gentle with people, right? But what about when we're stressed out? What about when our kids maybe rear up? What about if it's just something simple like somebody cuts us off in traffic?
That's not simple.
You know, I mean, do you give a gentle response back to that? You just go, you know, my wife makes fun of the way I drive. I drive slow. I save a lot of gas, and that to her is somewhat irritating. But, you know, you can leave space between you and the car in front of you. And as much as that space as you leave, people want to fill it in and fill it in. I mean, they just jump right. They're like they're aggravated at you. And they dive. And it's almost like, how close can I get to the bumper of his truck when I jump in there? And so, you know, gentleness is not always the first thing I want to think of with people that treat me that way. What do you think the difference, Debbie kind of used a little bit of a definition for the word meek, but what are the differences that you've learned maybe through this book or that you know between meekness and gentleness? Gentleness, they're very close, but what are the differences between those?
Well, you can be gentle without being meek.
Okay, all right.
Meek to me seems frightening or not standing up for yourself.
Okay.
I think meekness is from where gentleness can flow. So, like, gentleness being more of the action and meekness being more of the spirit you hold.
I love the way the book said that gentleness was active and meekness was passive.
Yes, yeah, yes. That. Yes, I mean, that, y'all are both right on that. That's perfect, is that to be meek means that you have tremendous strength. I've always heard the example of a horse. But you could think of wild animals that buck or bite or flee, right? A wild animal that has now been made tame. So you take a horse that you try to put just even a blanket on his back when he's wild, and you're going to, he is not going to accept that. He's going to buck. You put a saddle. You try to put your weight on it. It's Katie bar the door, right? And that is, horses are incredibly powerful animals. But under a controlled, tame animal, he could be steered by just a little bit in the mouth, right? It could. So you have power that is under control. But gentleness has to do with how we act with people, how we move into their lives, how do we deal with them, how do we treat them. It's an active form of that word, really, if you will. So somebody kind of brought this up, but I want to touch on it a little bit more. Would you say that gentleness causes us to withhold the truth from those who are weak? About that.
Doesn't make me not say it. It just, for me, it's like waiting for God to prompt me to say it. Or, I mean, I just want to preach to a couple of people, but
right.
But there's just timing on that, and there's a way to communicate that that has a lot more love. And if I'm really concerned about that person, and their relationship with the Lord, I think I go at it waiting sometimes and just being very careful as to how I share that. Rather than,
yes,
this is what you need. I mean, you know, just not mad at you. Do you need to do this kind of thing?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like then when people actually ask, how much more effective instruction is, you know, Jeannie.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, even if it's not like a salvation thing, but just like maybe something hard to share with someone. If that person's already going through a hard time, you don't add more burden to that person because maybe the timing's just wrong. So you wait and then you share that information with them.
Exactly. Yes, that is very good.
And a gentle person, you can receive feedback from more readily than a harsh person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, no doubt about it. That's a good point. Strong's Concordance. I looked up the definition of gentleness. The transliteration is proutes. It's not the easiest to say. Thank you. But it's the word mildness or gentleness. And interesting, the root that is pulled from is P-R-A. And what that does is emphasizes the divine origin of meekness, meaning that it's going to come from a divine source, meaning that gentleness isn't just natural for us. It's, we're going to have to rely on God's Spirit. Yes, sir?
Speaking the truth and love.
Yes.
It's not, I mean, you don't want to put any burden on somebody else, but if it's truth and it needs to be heard, there is no time but to say it in love. Sometimes it's difficult, like I say.
Yes.
You know, but if you speak it in love, it will come across to that person that it is meant for good, and they will receive it that way.
Yes. Yes. I mean, sometimes not always, even in the moment, Bernie, I've found that, like, you know, that sometimes, man, they'll go and they'll think about it because of the way that you came to them, and they'll, God begins to work on their heart.
Yeah, you know, the example is always used a burning building or something like that, okay? You approach somebody and you ask him to move out because it's danger. You can do it either mean and forceful, they yeah. probably resist you, or you can do it in love. And it's hard in a situation like that to bring through your yes. voice, you know.
Yes.
Oh. But, I admire people who can do that. That you know they speak. They're concerned about you. You know?
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, they realize that you love them, that you want the best for them, right? Instead of that you're hard and exacting and rigid and want to tighten them up over a wrong, right?
I feel like Graham was, to me, somebody that way.
Very much.
His was always generally about salvation, but he could tell you what was going to happen if you didn't trust the Lord, but he did it in a gentle...
Absolutely, yeah. Someone else had a comment.
I was just saying, you know, a gentle answer, a gentle encounter with somebody, to me, it builds a security with them, you know.
A trust, right?
Person,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
The way around.
Absolutely. For the believer, that part of this definition is that meekness or gentle force begins with the Lord's inspiration and finishes by his direction and empowerment. I thought that was really good. It is a divinely balanced virtue that can only operate through faith. Yes, sir.
You know, it makes me think of the horse analogy.
Yes.
Because it's the way God is so gentle with us. Eventually, he doesn't really have to use the bit and the reins with the nudge of the knee or
yeah.
even just a pull on a rein without a bit.
Yes, yes.
He's so gentle. And, you know.
Exactly.
Try to be that way with interactions with other people.
No, you're right. And look, I don't remember who brought it up, but it might have been you, Jack, about the whole idea of, from a masculine perspective, the problem, you know, that you have with gentleness or meekness. And I know, Jeff, you know, you coming from the prison background, you bring up something like meekness or gentleness in the prison, and they're like, are you kidding me? I mean, because they know that that is going to be perceived as, in their mind, as weakness, right? But look, I want to look at a passage of Scripture, Isaiah 40, if you'll turn in your Bibles there, where we get this beautiful picture of this divinely balanced virtue between power and gentleness. So we're going to start in verse 10. If somebody wants to pick up there, we're going to read all the way through 26. And just as we're doing this, I want you to just kind of make notes of some things that you identify looking through this passage about God's power, because it's pretty impressive, I'm not going to lie. So somebody that would read from verse 10, and there's this one little section in verse 11 that deals with the gentleness side of God. So we're going to talk about that too. So please, somebody, if you would pick up from verse 10.
Read to where?
26.
Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span, calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and his heels in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and whom instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught his knowledge? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. And are counted as a small dust on the scales.
Wow.
Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor it be sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To him, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare it to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? You have not understood from the foundations of the earth. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing and makes his judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. No one is missing.
Yeah, not one of them is missing, meaning the stars in the sky. What phrase did you, any of them, there's so many that are describing God's power in there. Because this whole concept of, from a masculine standpoint, to be concerned about that you're going to lose, you're going to be considered weak by not being gentle. Our God is described in power here like there's nothing that comes close to comparing it.
Yet. Like everything else, we're good at screwing things up. I think it's an authority issue. The Lord has authority over everything. And you don't have authority over the other man. So he can handle his creation however he chooses. And we're instructed on how to treat someone who's just as broke as you are.
Yes, you know? Yes.
It's an authority issue.
Yeah, control, you know, is an aspect of what you're talking about too, how we want to control people. And so, man, well, you know, sometimes I remember when I was younger, you know, training my kids, you just think, you know, I came down on them about something and they're not responding to that. Well, apparently it didn't come down hard enough. You ever experienced that? And it doesn't go well. Just from experience, I'm going to tell you that's when that, if you correct and it's not going well, you need to back up and you need to find a more effective way to communicate the truth, as Bernie said, the truth that you want to bring out to them. Effective. Yes, I thought this one was interesting. He says, he's talking about the rulers of the world. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. That is a powerful God. Let me tell you, it's incredible.
It comes to mind Proverbs. If you seek wisdom, what is wisdom? It's the beginning of wisdom, it's the fear of the Lord.
Mm.
And the same with your kids. I mean, we look at fear more as reverence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If your kids reverence you as their authority, they will listen to you.
Yes.
If we reverence the Lord, if we have wisdom, we fear him, we will. But unfortunately, it's not always in our mind,
yes.
When we blow up or get angry or... Anyway.
Yes, indeed. What did you notice about the gentleness of God in verse 11? Right? Just he tucked right in the middle of all that description of power, we see that this God is not weak because he is gentle, right? We have all this power, but we see this gentleness exposed. And what stands out to you in that verse about his gentleness?
He will feed his flock like a shepherd.
Yes.
Someone cares.
So, exactly, Stephanie. That is, yes, ma'am.
He cares with them, they can't walk themselves.
Yes. Because, look, you think about, let me read a different version of that, this is the New American Standard. It says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. These little baby lambs that are born. What do you think might be on a mother's mind, a sheep, and she's had a baby? What do you think is on that mom's mind during that time? Taking care of that little baby, right? So the flock might be moving, and here's this little mother and nursing you. And what he's describing is, as shepherd, is that, man, he is going to take care of them because they are in a very vulnerable state, right? And so he's going to make sure that they are carried along with the flock. He's going to pick them up. He's going to carry them. Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, the shepherd here also, God as the shepherd treats the sheep in different positions differently. So you can be equally gentle, but treat different people differently based on how vulnerable they are, what their needs are.
Right.
In life.
Exactly. Yes. That would take and require some wisdom, wouldn't it? and some dependence on God. Right? To know. It gets back to what Cindy said earlier. I mean, that's why it's so important when we're dealing with people where we need to exercise gentleness, that we pray about how we're going to move in with them. Because as we go into this study next week, we're going to look at the very practical aspects of how we, these areas where we're going to implement gentleness. And it requires some wisdom, as you're talking about. Yes, sir.
You know, when Elijah needed God, he found him in the still, small voice. Mm. Not the hurricane or earthquake.
Right. Yeah. Right. So yeah. I can't quote it exactly, but I'm thinking about Moses too. When it is Elijah, and he performs all those big powerful acts of nature, and it's that quietness, it's that gentleness, his tenderness that he's like, wow, yes, sir.
I was thinking one of the aspects of shepherd is he's only effective when he's present. Mm. And so, you know, God's always there.
Yes.
And so it's an example for us to be meeting the needs of people.
Yes, absolutely, Jeff. That's good. Well, what about, let's look at another example with this, but this time let's take a look at the gentleness of Christ. Okay? So if y'all turn to Matthew 11, 28 and 29. I'm going to look at a couple of passages here about Jesus. Looking at the gentleness of our God. And of course, this is all going to lead to a call for us to be gentle with others. It's always good to see the example of our God and how he deals with these things. Somebody that would read 11, 28, and 29.
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Hmm. Well, Debbie, what do you see about the gentleness of Jesus in that passage?
That, you know, I just know from experience, I've experienced that, you know, where I've felt that heaviness and that weariness, and
yes,
God just meets me right where I am, and it's not a slap in the face. It's a scripture that he reminds me of or takes me to that comforts me.
And you respond to that, yeah, don't you? You have a, I mean, it is amazing. It is. It's just incredible. She described about the weary and burdened here. Who else might you think would be weary and burdened in this passage? Who was Jesus always seeking to? I mean, he was looking for the lost, and you have the religious people that were hard and harsh and exacting on the people. But what you see here is Jesus was gentle with these people. With these that were burdened and weary from, let's just say they might have been weary from the burden of sin that they're dealing with in their life, right? And Jesus, what does he give to them, though?
He tells them to take the yoke, though, which to my way of thinking means obedience.
Means we're going to partner up with him, right? We're going to yoke up with him. And that's why, though, that it is easy. If you're struggling with sin, God gives us empowerment to get deliverance over that, right? So imagine how you've got this example of extreme, unlimited power in a yoke next to you, right? What if he was just, you know, like, man, we're moving 1,000 miles an hour because that's no problem for me. But so what if he just carried us along like that? But instead what he does is he is gentle with us, right? And he knows that it takes time for us to make progress in that. But what do you find in this verse 29, that you find for your soul here? In that gentleness from God, what do you get? You get rest. So let me just ask a question. Are people at ease around you? Do they find a place of rest around you? Or do they think maybe you're popping them with some law, some harshness? I mean, that was a very convicting question to me, you know, just to examine my life and say, you know, do people just hear a lot of my opinions sometimes? Are they a little more harsh, you know? Maybe they don't want to hear that. Maybe they're not at ease always around me. Maybe I need to be very careful with that. What about you? How would you answer that? Are people at ease around you?
Some are, some aren't.
Okay. Yeah.
My own children. I got one daughter that, she's really likes being around me and calls me gentle. But another one doesn't want to hear anything.
Yeah, I understand. Burns.
There's something in the verse 29.
Yes.
We are humans and we want rest for our weary bodies. Okay? But here it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That does not mean your life will be easy.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes people go through terrible things, and I ask myself, how do you handle it? Because they have rest on this for their souls. Mm. You can take, I don't know, I was a young believer and we went to visit somebody in a hospital and all the men, we had Bible study with some older men took me in under the wings and the guy knew it was the end, he was dying of cancer. He was so peaceful and it just impressed upon me. You know, it's something, physically he probably wasn't, maybe calm or had maybe pain.
Sure.
But he was just restful. I mean, he was just at ease, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when the crowd followed Jesus, like this morning in the sermon, they wanted relief from the Romans or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, I give you more than
that. Right.
They didn't want that, or they didn't see it that way. The Pharisees, you know, they wanted it their way. They didn't want rest for the souls.
Yes. Well, life with God is a place of rest for us. And his gentleness, it just makes us such at ease with our God. And even, you know, what Debbie was talking about earlier, even like when we're messing up, and his conviction comes on us, perhaps, and you just go, oh man, it doesn't drive you under the ground and make you feel it's just so soft and gentle, and it's corrective, and man, you want to move back into a place that's good. Let's look at one other passage, and then we're going to kind of close down here. But how about Matthew 12:20? This is a beautiful passage as well. It really is a quote from Isaiah 42. But 12:20 says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory." What do you think is the significance of what he's talking about there with a smoldering wick he will not snuff out? How much knowledge do y'all have on the oil lamps of a few years back? Okay. How does that speak to the gentleness of Christ? a bruised reed, right?
When you're hurt or when you're really holding on.
Yes. Yes. Well, a wick was made out of a piece of linen, cotton, that was shoved down into olive oil. And sometimes when that was first lit, it'll sputter and flicker and smoke real bad. After it gets going and it produces a bright light, that flame stabilizes, right? And so you can kind of walk around with it. But while that linen is being lit, it's very vulnerable. And it doesn't take anything to snuff it out, okay? And so a broken reed would be just kind of useless. Instead of just breaking it off and tearing it out, he binds it up. He restores it. I mean, that would have to be done very gently. That is how gentle our God is. I mean, we think of a God that is perfectly holy with all of that power about how he might come and interact with man. And you see how he does. He's gentle, and he is gentle with those who are spiritually sick and broken. What an amazing God. And this gentleness that we see in our God is what he wants us. That's what he wants coming out of our lives. I want to give you an example of something I thought about power and gentleness combined. About a year ago, I had my bulkhead replaced in my backyard. And so they brought in a backhoe to deal with, both the destruction of the old and putting in the new. And so this is a big backhoe. It's squashing my yard when it's moving to the back because it's heavy and it's big and it's strong. The mechanical advantage on that bucket is just incredible what it can do. So they tear out the old, and we get to this one section over here in the corner. And in that section, I've got a water pipe. I've got my high voltage. I've got sprinkler wires that are just, they're not in a piece of conduit. They're just laying in the ground in the trench, right? And I've got a sprinkler pipe in that corner. And so the man that's doing the bulkhead work gets on top of that backhoe, this powerful machine that also, when they were reconstructing it, would take on the post. It had a vibrator on the end, and they would take it, and they would sit on top of that post, and it would drive those posts down into the ground, right? He would drive them down until they would just hit enough dirt that it would just stop. It couldn't drive it anymore. But you didn't want your finger in between that vibrator and that post, because the amount of power that it had was incredible. So this man sits on this backhoe, and he starts to dig in that corner. And he just scoops out a little bit, scoops out a little bit. He's just so gentle on the controls of that powerful machine. And lo and behold, here start coming up some pipes, and it would just barely graze the top of them. Not one wire was nicked. Not one pipe was broken. He just exposed all of that work that was underneath there so we could get in there and restore that bulkhead. And so I just thought about that when I was thinking about this gentleness, and I just thought, man, that's how our God is. He has all of this power, but that's not how he deals with us. He deals with us in a gentle way so that we can be restored, right? And that's what his call is for us to deal with others, is to be gentle. Even though we got some knowledge, man, maybe we've been a Christian for 30 plus years, 40, maybe 50, I don't know. It could be a long time, right? And over that period of time, God allows you to learn about him and to know some things. And then you come across somebody that's immature and doesn't want to listen. Well, what we do, we just snuff it out, right? You say, I am through with you. I'm just going to snuff that out. That's no good. I'm going to break it off. Or we deal with them as God's called us to do, which is we move in a gentle manner, and where we can restore them and teach them. He says that we can learn from him because he's gentle and humble of heart. And that's what he wants from us. Comments, please.
I think, too, of the power and gentleness of God. I think of, you know, he knit us together. And just the power in that, but the gentleness of, you know, knitting. That's not something that you can
That's a good point.
But gently.
Yeah, that's good, Michelle. Yeah, that's excellent. Anybody else?
I have kind of in between, like a husband and wife, or it could really be any relationship, a client or whatever, but I think more in between a husband and wife, because there's more of those conversations that walls are constructed. If things aren't talked about, you have a wall between you. Imagine a brick wall, and something happens, and the spouse, you know, tries to remove one of those bricks that prevents intimacy between you two, and sits down and has a hard conversation with you. And if you seek first to understand, then instead of being understood, then you receive that brick and you process the emotions and kind of repeat back to her, him or her, okay, this is what I'm hearing you say, this is how you're feeling. And then that would be a way that she's going to continue to remove bricks and keep giving them to you. But if you respond in anger, you throw the brick back in her face, she's going to stop tearing bricks down.
Right.
And give them to you.
So, right.
I think of gentleness. The gentleness is, you know, just receiving whatever he or she is saying, processing it, and then trying to move forward.
Becky's going to hold you to account on this. You've exposed yourself. And she wrote on it. It's recorded, so. No, that's well said.
And this is a testament to Keith's. Even yesterday, what should have been something fun and joyful, we were at a store and we were registering, and I could not figure it out. Like, it was just, I hate computers, I hate technology. And I was frustrated, and probably taking it a little bit on him.
Oh.
And in the moment, and he knew that, and so he had a little gun, and he was just like, oh, look, some gum. And then he just started making this silly noise with it, and it defused me. No, I wasn't. Like anything he saw, he was like, let's get that. And then he just made light of it. He didn't condemn me because I was frustrated. And he didn't say, this should be fun. What's wrong with you? You know? I mean, he saw that I was frustrated, and he met that need. And then it freed me to kind of move out of that frustration and then see it as something fun and lighthearted. And I so appreciated that, you know? Because that's how we should be with each other.
And it brought the Astros a win.
That's correct.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
I also think that the way that we deal, especially the way that we deal with people who do not know the Lord, cannot draw or repel them, obviously we talk about that. But, like, I think about, you know, the 23rd Psalm, you know, God gave that rest. There was going to come a time of darkness, and God gave that rest to prepare for the darkness, because, you know, we are also supposed to be rest in a dark world, you know, for others who need that. And so we can speak through us, so we can be light through us.
Really, just the whole shepherd analogy, you know, I mean, a shepherd deals very gently with, because they're they're interesting animals for sure. Let me get Todd, and I'll come right back to you, Jeff.
So right now I'm reading the book based on the Matthew 11, Gentle and Lowly in Heart is the name of it.
Mm, great. How about that?
Yeah, just, you know, how he approaches us. Because he's the one in the universe who could be like, you know, man, I'm tired of you, Craig, you're a screw up. This is the fifth time. You know, but he's not, you know. But he sees us, and, you know, and we're like a lot of those animals, you know, some of those animals, they're nasty. They're dirty and filthy and stupid. And, but he comes, but he's, his heart is drawn to us when we're like that. Not, I'm tired of you, or you need to get it together. He's actually attracted to how we are and comes down and tender and helping us and, you know, you're like a savior all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and like you're talking about, what is built in that is trust. You know, I look at this dog that Cindy and I just got. You know, when we first got him, he was a fleer, man. If I didn't have that leash on him, man, he was gone because he didn't know me well enough. Well, now I can take him out and walk him, and I can snap my finger, and he knows he comes right to my side, and he's going to walk with me there. But at first, he had no trust for me. He knew I was giving him food, whatever, but he was like, man, I don't know about this guy. But over time, he built trust, and now he wants to obey me, right? And that's the way it is with our Lord, too. We develop a sense of trust where we will, from that gentleness that we want to obey him.
Trust and obey that.
Exactly. No other way. Yes, sir.
You know, I got to remind myself sometimes, because Jesus was perfect in gentleness, still is, always has been, but he still is rejected by a lot of people.
Mm, I know.
So we can be as gentle as we can.
You're right. You're right. You're right. But our responsibility is not how many people do that, right? Our call is to be gentle with people. And he is the one that does the rest of that work. So, all right, well, we're a little bit late, so let's go ahead and close. Lord, we just love you this morning. We're just thankful for how you deal with us, Lord. You're gentle, you're kind, you're just gracious to us in every way. And so, Lord, we just enjoy so much just learning from your word and hearing and discovering more things about you, or just renewing the things that we do know, and just how comforting they are to us. And so, Lord, even as we're studying this, might we be people that would not be harsh and rigid. Might we be people that recognize people that are spiritually broken, that need help, and might we deal with them in a gentle manner. So might you just teach us that, Lord, as we yoke up with you. And through all this process, Lord, we're at great rest. We're at great ease around you, because you are just a good and gracious God. So we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.